Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
Yourself, I'm going on holiday. Imagine this, it's a boxing ring. In the boxing ring, you have the devil and you have a Christian desiring to work out his destiny. They're fighting blow for blow. Christian is doing awesome. He's smacking the devil all over the ring. There are 10,000 people in the audience. They're all Christians. And they are observing the fight. And they are shouting, come on, Christian. Beat the sucker up. Smack the life out of, death out of him. He's got no life, but smack him up. And the crowd were cheering. And the fight was going on. And Christian was doing great. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, the devil comes with a right hook and smashes Christian on the floor, and the referee starts the count. The crowd went silent as the referee started. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The crowd was screaming, Christian, get up. You cannot allow the devil to defeat you at this stage in your destiny. And the referee started counting, continued to count, 6, 7, 8, 9. And when they got to 9, the crowd went silent. And the devil stood on the rings, on the rope of the ring, and was getting ready to punch the air with a victory and a sneer. And then the referee counted 10. The crowd gasped in horror. The devil sneered at the crowd and screamed, next! Then from the other side of the ring, the devil heard something that caused fear and shock to go through his body as he heard the referee say this, 11, 12, 13, 14, come on somebody, 15, 16, 17. The devil runs over to the referee who happens to be called Grace. And he runs over to the referee and he says, that's not fair. And Grace says, here, to you it's not, but he is one of my children. And my grace will keep counting until he gets up. You need to give praise to Jesus here. This God gave me this word 6 months ago for today. Can you imagine how I've been feeling every morning? But thank God, you know, the time of my gestation is up. I'm giving birth today here. And God spoke to me and said, for many of you right here, right now, something has smashed you on the floor. The devil has caught you with a surprise punch. You were working out your destiny, passionate, had a vision. The days ahead of you look bright and wonderful. Then 2016, bam, on the floor. And you're out for count. Well, the title of my message is this for you. I don't care if God sent me here for one person. You may be on the floor. And the devil may have counted you out. And people may have counted you out. And you may have counted yourself out. But God has sent this little hobbit from the Shire to come and tell you today that grace will keep on counting until you get up off the floor and renew your destiny. For some of you, shame has knocked you on the canvas and you can't get up to face 2017 because of the shame of 2016. And the devil is saying, screaming at you, stay on the canvas. But grace keeps counting until you get up. For some of you, it's the shame of abortion. For some of you, it may be the shame of divorce. For some of you, it may be the shame of immorality. Or for some of you, it may be the shame of betrayal. Not the fact that you've been betrayed, but the shame that you betrayed someone. And some of you are here and you don't know how to find restoration for the pain that's in your heart. You don't know how to get up off the canvas. How could I have betrayed that person? and you go to bed with guilt racking your brain and the accuser accusing you. And even when someone says God's forgiven you, you still can't seem to get up from the shame of what you did. Listen to me. When I was thinking about this, there are times in my life, even as a pastor, when I've hurt people. Sometimes unconsciously, sometimes deliberately. And, you know, I was dealing with this whole issue in my own life, and God showed me the whole picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when 600 soldiers came to arrest him. And bless him, Pete. I love Peter, the original carrier of foot-in-mouth disease. I love Peter. I relate to Peter because he messes it up so much. And here's the 600 armed guards coming to arrest Jesus. And who's the only one with a sword? It was Peter. I can take him on, Jesus. Leave this to me. And you know, he picks out the sword. He cuts off the ear of Malchus and the high priest, and his ear falls to the ground. And thinking that Jesus would be pleased with that, he was not pleased with that. He said, Peter, listen, just put your sword back. Some of you have cut off somebody's ear. Some of you have hurt somebody believing you were doing the right thing, but on hindsight you realize I shouldn't have done that, and you are here and you're full of shame and you can't get up off the canvas. Listen to me. This is what God said to me when I was dealing with the same issue in my own life. You know what? Do you know what he did? He said, Peter, put your sword back, watch. And then Jesus picked up the guy's ear and he healed the guy that Peter had hurt. And the Lord said to me, Ray, let me heal those you've hurt. And just carry on serving me because I've already forgiven you. Just learn your lesson and keep on moving. Somebody say amen in this house right here. And for those of you, a little side salad there, for those of you who cannot forgive yourself because you have hurt someone, whether it's been purposefully or whether it's been unintentionally, listen, the Holy Ghost is speaking through me right now and telling you, get up off the canvas. My grace is still counting. You need to get up and let me heal those that you hurt. Thank you, Jesus. Now, see, shame will keep you on the canvas, and that's where some of you are. They grabbed her from the adulterer's bed. She was a prostitute. And they caught her in the very act of adultery. And the law, because this is what the law is designed to do, the law is designed to shame you. The law is designed, the Ten Commandments are not given for us to keep. The Ten Commandments are given to us to show us that we can't keep them. And so the law dragged her through the streets, because this is what the law was designed to do, and dragged her through the streets. She was naked. And as they dragged her through the streets, they were shouting, shame on her, shame on her, shame on her, because that's what the law is designed to do. But this is what the law is also designed to do. They dragged her through the streets shouting, shame on her, and then threw her down at the grace of God. And the grace of God in the person of Jesus says, no, 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 no. Her shame is on me. Her shame is on me. And grace kept on counting until that shamed woman got up and was empowered with no condemnation to live a life that was pleasing to God. And some of you need to get up off the floor. Shame has kept you on the canvas, but grace keeps on counting. I talked about Peter, who failed Jesus miserably. They can all run from you, Jesus, but I will stay with you. They're flaky. They lack commitment. The one thing you'll never hear me say, Jesus, is, I'm forsaking you. Well, we all know what happened there. Not only did he deny Jesus, but he cursed the name. He cursed the very fact that he ever knew him. He wept bitterly. Shame kept him on the canvas. I'm finished. How could I have done that? And then finally he meets Jesus in his resurrected body on a beach, thinking, man, this is the last person I want to see. Those are the last eyes I want to look into after what I did. So Jesus cooked them breakfast on a beach and began to restore Peter, because grace kept on counting when Peter thought he was counted out. And you know the conversation in John 21, and Jesus looked at Peter and simply asked him a question, do you love me, mate? I mean, he squirmed and he screamed. And three times Jesus asked him, do you love me, Peter? Watch this. Never once did grace bring up Peter's failed past. Never once did Jesus say to Peter, Peter, before I recommission you, before I send you into what I've called you to do, we've got to sort this repentance out. Before I send you to feed my sheep, hey, listen, we got to deal with some issues, your inconsistency, your failures, your denial bent. Never once did Jesus say to Peter, do you regret failing me then? All he said was, all I want to know, Peter, do you love me now? And for you here, on the canvas, because of shame, for whatever reason, your lack of commitment or lack of faithfulness or whatever, hey, listen, Jesus, grace is not here to remind you. Grace is not here demanding repentance before renewal. Grace is not here to say, hey, do you regret failing me then? No, Jesus stands here in the presence of the Holy Ghost. And he says, no. There's only one thing I want to know. Do you love me now? Come on, can I hear a big amen in this place? Moses. I love Moses. There's another absolute plonker, really. You know, God entrusted him with something that Indiana Jones would die for. The original tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments. Within 5 minutes of coming down the mountain, he broke the two of them. Yeah, we break the Ten Commandments, but not all at the same time. He did that. I love it. Moses, here's Moses. He lived 40 years in shame. Tried to work out the will of God, tried to do it. His motives were right, but his timing was wrong and his method was wrong. And for 40 years, he lived in shame. Shame kept him on the canvas for 40 years. And then one day, this shamed failure was standing by a bush that burned supernaturally. And he heard grace still counting. I love it. He stood there sharp. He never thought he'd hear that voice again. He thought his life was over regarding what God had called him to do. He'd made such a mess of things that he was totally convinced that he would never hear that voice again. And then the conversation starts. I love this. And when the conversation, here was God about to recommission Moses and get him up off the canvas, because grace keeps on counting. And in the whole process, Moses was so battered with shame that he didn't get it. I mean, he responds to this amazing God and he says, but God, who am I? God's response, hey, Moses, you don't get it. This is not about who you are. This is about who I am. This is not about your performance. This is about my faithfulness, bro. Now, this is not about your failure. This meeting is about your future. I want to tell you right now, you've turned up here this morning. Hey, listen, you're on the canvas of shame for whatever reason. Hey, listen, God is saying to you, Jesus is saying to you, by the Holy Ghost, through my mouth, this meeting is not about your failure. This meeting is about your future. And God says, my plans for you are full of hope. Is anybody receiving this morning? This is not about the punch that knocked you out, Moses. This is about my grace that keeps on counting until you get up. Huh? Some of you are here having messed up your life through a series of events that are even too shameful to rehearse. And you've convinced yourself that you'll never hear that voice again. I could be that bush through whom God is speaking to you, calling your name, John, Caroline. I don't know what your name is, but I know this. Come on, it's time to hear him calling your voice and saying, come on, it's time to get up from the canvas of shame. You want to give Jesus, I'm preaching myself happy. You need to, somebody needs to shout here. Now you need a shout. Give him a shout right now and a big clap right now. I don't know how far I'm going to get with this, but I just know I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost here. What about Samson? Bless him. There's another plonker. You know, just couldn't control his lust and his emotions and the whole stuff, and the call of God was on his life and the strength was in his hair, and he met Delilah and she messed him up and cut his hair, and he ends up in a Philistine threshing pit, humiliated, an object of humiliation to the enemy, and he's walking around pushing a millstone. He can't see, he's got no vision, his hair is cut, he's got no power, he's humiliated. But the Bible says that grace kept on counting. Because as he was walking around the mills, pushing the millstone of shame, something was happening. The Bible says his hair began to grow again. And I can believe as he was pushing that millstone around, he was saying, just give me one more chance, God, one more chance. Grace kept on counting. His hair kept on growing. And one day they took him out of that place. His hair was now flowing down his back. And you know the story. They put him between the two pillars. And the Bible says that in his death, he killed more enemy than when he was alive. I want to tell you, I don't care what shame, I don't care what millstone the enemy has you put. Listen, your hair has grown again. Grace keeps on shouting. And the latter part of your life, come on somebody, the latter part of your life is going to be far more blessed and prosperous. My God, I sense the presence of God here. Anybody else sense the presence of Jesus here? My God. You know, listen. Last night, as I was thinking about this scripture came to me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. And it talks about that the word of God is inspired. And it's inspired for for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. And when we read that scripture, I read it and I thought, the word of God comes, and when we blow it, God comes to lovingly put us back in and reproof us. And I, again, in my guilt-biased sort of thing in me, I lent towards God coming like this. But then I looked at the word correction, and the word of God is coming to you through my mouth today in the form of correction. And somebody's saying, but Ray, that doesn't seem to match up with what you just said. No, you see, the word correction is a tri-compound word in the Greek. The English word doesn't really convey the meaning of this word correction. It's a tri-compound word. And without going into too much detail, I paraphrased it for you. And this is what the word correction means. This is what, when the word, you're listening to the word of God and it's coming for you. For those of you in a situation of shame and you're on the canvas and you don't, you know, the word of God is coming in the form of correction. And the word correction, tri-compound, this is what it means, paraphrased. It means whenever or wherever, at any moment or at any time, a person makes a decision to believe his word, the power of that word believed will be released into their lives to get them back on their feet again, to stand erect and upright and put them back on level ground. Come on, somebody, say amen. And I believe the word of God has come to those of you that are on the canvas of shame, and God says, you know, no, this is not a correction. This is a loving invitation to get up off the canvas, because my grace keeps on counting. I love it. What about those of you that are on the canvas because of unfair treatment? Last year, something has happened in your life and you feel unfairly treated. And what happens is you thought, my, you were the epitome of grace until you were unfairly treated, and emotions of bitterness and resentment and revenge start rising up inside you, and judgment, and it's unfair and it's awful what they did to you. And that's kept you on the canvas too, because you want justice. Totally understandable. But grace keeps on counting even for you. I love the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Talks of Jesus on the cross, and it says, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. In the New Living Translation, which I love, the New Living Translation, I don't know if we can get it up, but the New Living Translation of this verse says that basically when Jesus was reviled and unjustly and unfairly treated, I love this, in the New Living Translation it says, he simply handed his case into the hands of God. And that is a rhema. He left his case in the hands of God. And very often that's the hardest thing to do when we are unfairly treated and life and people are unkind to us. And the reason why we find it hard to hand our case into the hands of God when we feel retaliation is the natural response is because we do not want to feel vulnerable. See, when you hand your case into the hands of God, when you've been unfairly treated, you feel vulnerable. Hey, hanging on a cross naked like this is vulnerable. When you have the ability to call 12 legions of angels to destroy your abusers, when you have the power to wipe them out, but Jesus, the Bible says, did not allow his emotional life to dominate his spiritual life. He did not respond to abuse and insults emotionally, but revelationally. And this is how you get up off the canvas and continue on with your destiny, because feelings and emotions and reason can't handle vulnerability. Listen, the reason why our emotions can't handle it is because feelings and reason want control. We want to control this. And some of you have been deeply unfairly treated. And you just want control. You want to keep control. Well, the Rhema word to you, for those of you that are on the canvas because of unfair treatment, you can't deal with the bitterness and the resentment and the sense of, I want justice and revenge, and you can't get up to face 2017. The Rhema for you is this. Are you ready for this? Somebody say amen here. Here's the Rhema for you. You need to trust God. You need to hand your case. Can you put that scripture up again? You need to leave your case in the hands of God. However vulnerable it makes you feel, leave your case in the hands of God. Do you know what trust means? Faith plus nothing. It's another level. And some of you, before we leave this service, you are going to surrender control of an out-of-control situation. That's what you're going to do. I was in Australia recently preaching. And I'm on the 8th floor, room 824. It was 10 o'clock at night. I'd come home. I preached. I'm on the 8th floor, 824. And I'm sitting having a cup of coffee, looking at the Australian star-filled sky, feeling good, just enjoying God's presence. And on the 8th floor, I'm sitting there on a private balcony, and I'm sitting there in my chair drinking coffee, and all of a sudden, I feel something brush against my leg. I said to myself, don't look down. I thought I was having a flashback from the 60s. That acid does your head in the 60s because you get flashbacks. And then it was going in between my legs and brush. So I looked down and I saw this. If you can put this on the screen. Don't awe. It frightened the crap out of me. This is the 8th floor. Oh. It was on the 8th floor. I'm looking down at a white rabbit on the 8th floor on a private balcony. So I'm thinking, if this thing asks me the time, I'm jumping off. I can fly. I'll jump off this thing. Well, I rang reception. I went in, rang reception. I said, excuse me. Yeah, Mr. Bevan. I'm in room 824. Yes, we know. Do you enjoy your room? Yeah, there's just one problem. What is that, Mr. Bevan? Well, there's a white rabbit on my balcony. And very condescendingly, I get this response. Okay. That okay was packed with condescending, you are an absolute psychopath. I said, what am I going to do? And this is what the receptionist said. Mr. Bevan, just leave it alone. Apparently, I found out that there was a couple living two flats down. They're actually living in the flat. And they had a pet rabbit, and somehow it got under the little small gap between the thing. But man, I lived with that. I didn't find out that information for 3 days. Can you imagine what I felt like for 3 days? Then I thought about it. That rabbit turned up at the most unlikely place in the most unlikely time. And do you know what the Lord said to me? He said, Ray, my grace is like that. My grace will turn up at the most unlikely place in the most unlikely time. And watch this. And then I wrote it down. Grace is the factor in my life that causes to live my life surprised. With all my fears and my insecurities, I'm still surprised that grace keeps on counting. With all my bad decisions and failures, I'm surprised that God seems to work all things for my good. With all my refusals to forgive and show grace when I'm hurt or betrayed, I'm totally surprised that he always dispenses grace and forgiveness to me. When I want to give up and turn back, I'm surprised that he never gives up or forsakes me. When I'm unfaithful in my service to him, I'm surprised that he always remains faithful to me. When I'm at my weakest, emotionally, spiritually, and even physically, I'm surprised that he chooses those times to reveal his greatest strength in me. And I'm totally surprised when my humanity screams for sensibility, he gives me the grace to trust him during seasons of vulnerability. And that's where some of you are. You need to let go. You need to let go. You need to hand your case, trust your case into the hands of God. Isaac, in trusting God, became vulnerable to the sacrificial knife. Daniel, in trusting God, became vulnerable to the appetite of lions. Israel, in trusting God, to be circumcised before a battle, became vulnerable before the enemy. Listen to me. Trusting God means surrendering control of an out-of-control situation, however vulnerable you feel. Are you receiving the word of God this morning? Not so long ago, man, I was unfairly accused of, you know, if you have a calling to bless people in the ministry, well, there's a target on your back. And be prepared for slander and lies and all that stuff. It's just part of the package. And this guy put an article on the internet, which was just blatant lies. This was some years ago, maybe 15 years ago. Just blatant lies. And when he went on, I mean, just blatant. I was so mad. I got on the phone, I was ready to, and the Holy Ghost said, leave it. I said, but this is unfair. This is lies. He said, leave it. Leave it. I said, but Lord, this is not, I mean, I can't let this guy get. And then he showed me this verse. When he was unfairly treated, he left his case in the hands of God, who judges fairly. Because when you are miffed, you can't deal with a situation fairly. You will respond from your hurt, and you will respond for the need for justice. And so I was mad. He said, leave it. And this is what he said to me. Oh, are you ready for this? This is what he said for me. Ray, stay on the cross. It's safer there. He said, don't you think they asked me to prove myself? Come off the cross then. Come on, Messiah. Come on, prove it. But he said, I was prepared to walk through a season of vulnerability. But my day came. 3 days later, when he rose from the dead and was justified by his Father. Some of you need to give praise to Jesus in this house, right? I love it. I love it. I sense the Holy Ghost all over this place. Then he began to speak to me, and he said, listen to what he said to me. He said, you see, when you're unfairly treated and you want to respond, no, God is about to do some most amazing work in your life. When you trust your case into the hands of God, when he left his case in the hands of God. And that's what some, see, two classes of people here. One, grace keeps on counting for those of you that feel ashamed you're going to get up today. And for those of you who are unfairly treated and you felt like, you know, you're going to sing the song of Frozen today. You are going to let it go. You really are going to let it go. Do you know what the Lord said to me during these times? He said, Ray, I'm not interested how you respond to Palm Sunday praise. I want to see how you react to Good Friday's nails. That's what builds character. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just where you're sitting, just begin to thank him. sense your presence here, Lord Jesus. Lord, there are people here on the canvas of shame. And I believe with all of my heart that they've heard your voice. You've called their name. And grace keeps counting. Some of them are on 1,642. But you're going to keep on counting until they get up. For those, Lord, who are dealing with unfair treatment and they don't know how, Lord, your word to them is that they just have to leave their case. They have to let go control of an out-of-control situation. They've tried to control it, but, Lord, they're going to trust you now and they're going to walk out of this service totally free of the chains of retaliation and shame and resentment. I don't know what it is, but I do know that you're doing that.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.